Hey, this is Pete Cironis, and we are back, myself and Samara Shulman, President On Point Consulting. Great to see you, Samara.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. And in light of our conversation that is progressive, we're going to dive a bit more today, folks, into pillars one and two of the aforementioned in our prior conversation, National Cyber Workforce and Education Strategy, Unleashing America's Cyber Talent, dated July 31, 2023. We're going to jump right in and kind of give a little bit of background into what these first two pillars are, and we'll save our next conversations for pillars three and four. But we want to remind the audience that this is a document worth reading, and that it's not prescriptive, but it's a framework, if you will, which included contributions from 147 entities. These are the folks who responded to the RFI when it came out to kind of give that perspective, that global perspective of why cyber education and our workforce is not something that just people learn by taking a class. So with that, a reminder, the Office of the National Cyber Director, ONCD, advises the President of the United States on cybersecurity policy and strategy. And they essentially, at least in my view, Samara, are the bedrock of this document, representing a whole of government approach. And I don't know if you have some opening remarks, but I have at it. The floor is yours.
I mean, when we look at pillars one and two, we talked in our last conversation, and I mentioned like this is what really pulled me in. I've got a master's in education, and while I'm not currently in the education industry, it's the lessons that I learned there I find myself applying every day, day in, day out, because I come in contact with people. And really, talking to people is all about education, right? It's about listening. It's about adapting. It's about teaching. It's about training. It's about getting your point across, and being able to read the room and read those people. Everyday skills that are great to have. When I look at pillars one and two, that's what this is all about, and it gets me. My head just goes in many, many different directions. Pillar one: equip every American with foundational cyber skills. The word "every." Is this possible? Are we really able to equip every American? We're talking people, obviously, months, days, 0 years old to 100 years old. Are we really able to equip every American who doesn't still writes out checks to pay bills? That's what we're talking about. Now, equip. Yeah, I mean, you could define that differently, but are we able to explain the logic behind cybersecurity? Are we even able to explain so that it's understood to these different demographics, shall we say, to these different demographics who are not using, let's say, their smartphones for ordering food, for ordering groceries, for ordering rides, if they're even using a smartphone at all? Are these lessons or cyber skills lessons that can be taught to every American? And then pillar two, transform cyber education. I could go on and on for days with thoughts about that. I do think, in a good way, I think that there's some really cool stuff in here, a lot of different ideas. But I will say one thing that comes back to me is something, a class I did take in grad school, where I remember the conversation was around driver's ed. And it was all about what role does the school play in people's lives. Is it the school's responsibility to teach driver's ed? Because some of us had driver's ed, it was mandatory to take in high school, and some of us didn't. Does the school need to offer driver's ed? Is that the responsibility of the school? Well, you could look at it in many ways, right? This is a skill that we think as Americans, everybody should have. Others don't view that everybody should have that. Is it, what if you're from a household where there's no guardian who can teach you to drive, then you want it in the schools, this and that. And it just made me think back to that conversation with cyber education. We're not talking computers. This specifically speaks to cyber and everything surrounding it. And is it the responsibility of the school to make sure that everybody is aware of it? This day and age, I think I'm on the side of yes, but I don't, we'll see where this conversation falls. Maybe you can convince me otherwise.
Hearing you react to this document and the material, I'm looking down. I know I have so many highlighted notes, and we're going to dive into, and again, folks, this is just to give everybody listening a taste and hope that you go read about some of this because, Samara, you pointed out so much by bringing in the equity component, the inclusion. Not everybody can go take a class in this or pay to go to school, or there's ways you can learn that don't require a transaction. But let's jump into pillar one. Pillar one talks about foundational cyber skills that must become universal, like reading and math. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Samara, with your story reference. But the terms they use, digital literacy, computational literacy, and digital resilience, they need to be imprinted on the minds of anybody who is going to pursue learning or educating, if you will. But digital literacy, computational literacy, and digital resilience mean things. You know, again, foundational cyber skills must become universal, like reading and math. The programs must be extended and design, excuse me, learning opportunities to support education systems that are accessible and effective. Digital literacy, cognitive and technical skills. Computational, the ability to consume information and use applications, analyzing data. And then digital resilience, the awareness and agility and skill sets and confidence to adapt to a changing environment. We're an interconnected society, and these are the skills, Samara, that pillar one, however it's built into a program at a university or at a community college or heck, just on the internet. What's your reaction to some of these terms?
I like those definitions, but to me, the three definitions mixed together boils down to knowing how to get information, knowing what to do with the information, knowing how to protect yourself against the information. And those are the lessons at the very basic part of this, right? It's knowing that we've got so much information coming at us. And if you don't have the right information coming at you, how do you correct that? Where do you go get the right information? What do you do with that information? How do you distill that information? How do you analyze that information? How do you create things based on that information? And then how do you use that? I mean, empowering users of new technologies and adapt the changing digital skill demands is this last digital resilience. It's confidence, right? That's part of the definition is how do you then be confident with the data, the information with what you're doing to go forward, both on the defense as well as the offensive sides. For those who do look this up after hopefully listening to this, there is a great graphic, right, on page 9 that details out these definitions, digital literacy, digital resilience, computational literacy. There are a few things that do stick out to me that able to adapt to changing digital skill demands is under digital resilience. It's interesting. We talk about this foundational cyber skills must become universal, like reading and math. Reading and math, I would challenge, don't change. We're not changing rules on how we read. You learn how to read, you practice it, you get better, you can read. Math, we're not changing that all of a sudden the rules of addition change. Cyber is changing. This is a different type of skill, right? It's not a static skill. Cyber is going to continue to change. It's going to continue to develop. A lot of it's going to be based on our adversaries and who's trying to attack what and what is coming at us. So yeah, within these definitions, I do think that they're interesting words. I mean, ethically is on here. Ethically, securely, and safely use information. They're great definitions. Again, you could go on for days talking about it. Navigate multiple levels of abstraction as part of computational literacy. That goes beyond cyber skills, right? That's just in general. Navigate multiple levels of abstraction is, again, great power skill to have.
I keep coming back in my head, and as we're talking, I know cyber is a term that draws you in, right? Cyber workforce, cyber education. And personally, I think it's important and relevant, but I do think it can scare people off. I think people say, oh my gosh, I have to know about all that cybersecurity stuff. And here we are talking about literacy, digital. You mentioned this great one, ability to adapt to changing digital skill demands in a cyber world. I like the understanding social, technical, and cultural dynamics of computational technology, including equity and inclusion. So, folks, Samara brings up the three components of foundational skills. But I like also that, okay, use it, know it, adapt it and grow it, analyze it and apply it. And all we're trying to convey is that these are things anybody who's listening or wants to be in this field, it's beyond, in Pete Cironis's view, cyber. It's technology and understanding and being literate enough to have that conversation, also to be understanding what they're trying to convey, because not everybody, I feel, coming from my liberal arts background, as does Samara, we like to talk about translating, connecting dots, and making sure that anybody is not afraid to raise their hand and go, "What do you mean by that? What are your thoughts on that,
Oh, I
Samara?"
completely agree. I think it's interesting when you refer to anybody in this field. I think that is a fabulous segue into Pillar Two. Pillar Two discusses how to bring cybersecurity into basically kind of other fields and to be able to weave it into, you're not just taking a cybersecurity class, you're taking a software development class, you need to discuss cyber, but you're taking all these related classes where cyber should be introduced. I don't
Well, so pillar one, folks, foundational cyber skills, know these terms. Okay, pillar two, titled Transforming Cyber Education. Well, if people are learning a technology or a terminology, and let's be clear, we keep saying people are like trying to pen this as, "Oh, that's a class I should go take. Where can I get my certification?" Samara and I are both believers in this is progressive, and whatever class you take today, it may not be as relevant tomorrow. Net, net, transforming cyber education to be dynamic. So, pillar two is titled that. And really, what caught my attention, it really speaks to these ecosystems that are already in action. This is already happening. We've got places like the Carolina Cyber Network, you've got the Idaho Cyber Research Project, the Ohio Cyber Range Institute. It's happening. And I think that's what really spoke to me, was that things are already in development and we're highlighting them in this pillar too. And then secondly, we'll get into that, is you hit on this point, cyber related learning phases. We have to constantly evolve the training. We have to look at, what do I need to be aware of and what do I need to actually go train myself on? What's your career path? Do you want to be a network engineer, a software engineer, a server administrator, a teacher? Somebody like me, I grew up in a data center for 10 years and I realized what I wasn't going to be really great at because I didn't have fun doing it. But boy, did I learn from people. So, pillar two, you introduced it. That's a little sneak preview for anybody listening about, ooh, what's in this pillar? Samara, what stuck out in this pillar two that gives you that hope that, hey, this is a thing that's going to be happening for many years?
The same things that stuck out to you that, wow, this is happening. They list out 10 places that this is happening. Some are statewide, some are citywide. How do you expand upon that? In other words, how do we scale up? It talks about the foundations of curriculum, basically. It's how you build a curriculum. Well, how do you first get when our states and curriculum is adapted differently throughout the country, right? Curriculum being taught K through 12 isn't coming from the federal government. So, how are you going to move this along so that schools are adapting and rebuilding curriculum? I've got young kids, so I've only got up to second grade and first grade knowledge right now of what's going on in the schools. We've got an after school club sometimes for coding. My 7.5-year-old does code ninjas and loves coding, but he's not learning in, let's say, social studies right now on being a responsible citizen, that means you'd have to phrase it differently for a second grader, not clicking on every email that you're going to eventually get. Because they do. They're starting to use emails. They do Minecraft. They're chatting. Kids at all levels are using technology, right? They're buying games. They know how to look up what they want on Amazon. How do you help schools learn how to adapt this? Does curricula need to be rewritten completely? I do think, right, it's the same way that we try to adapt new technologies, emerging technologies. And Pete, you and I have many conversations about how technology is great, but it's the people that surround it that are just as important. It's the culture. You need the people to be aware of it. You need, quite honestly, the people to feel confident and buy into the technology that's there. I think that this is very similar. This is a new subject, let's say, new-ish subject in the school systems, or at least doing it a different way, you need the teachers to buy into it, which means that you need the professors who are teaching the teachers to be teachers to buy into it, to distill down that, hey, sometimes when you're writing out your lesson plans, you're not going to see this stuff, but you're going to read something in the news. How do you adapt that to an ad hoc lesson in your classroom? Are you able to? Where do you have to go for approval to do that? Do you need administration approval? I mean, there's just different, and that's coming at it, obviously, you're not going to, I don't think, get that from just reading Pillar Two. That's coming from the educational side, for what I remember at least, can speak to that there's more than just, hey, this is a great idea. On the positive note, I love that they list out Virginia is doing something, the city of San Antonio is doing something, that this is getting started and that's spreading. I think it's got to spread very quickly. The positive note of that is that if there's anything positive that came out of the pandemic, I think it shows that Americans can move forward quickly. Government can move forward quickly. We went remote within 24 hours and government continued. We can do things quickly. I think that this is something that we need to do quickly. And when I'm talking, I'm only referring to K through 12. There are some really cool ideas in here just about credit and using being able to use real life experience for credit in schools, for academic credit, and bringing in cyber experience that you've done elsewhere as credit, or even treating cyber's coursework almost like advanced placement credit, like AP credit, or being able to use skills and certifications that you're getting from industry to count towards credit, or reversing that, right? Having a class in college where something that you do is that you go ahead and you part of the curriculum is to get the industry certification so that when you're out of college, it becomes easier to use it. There just, I do think that there are some awesome ideas in here. I think it's absolutely the framework that we need. I just think that we need to figure out how to spread that framework and get educators reading this framework. This involves them. This isn't just our IT industry or government contracting industry who needs to be aware of this to get this moving.
So let's take that, and I appreciated all of that and putting back on your, you are the president of OnPoint Consulting. You get up every day and you eat, sleep, and drink opportunities for the federal government. How I view the challenge of most people who see this type of document come down and it helps shape what can distinguish OnPoint and its incredible resource of talent to come in and help an agency move the needle on something that maybe isn't as specific as I need to get to the cloud, but I need to augment, train, create a literate working environment in the federal government. And we on point can help you do that. And clearly, based on everything you've been saying, Samara and on point know how to help move the needle in the federal space. So we're going to bring it back here for a minute, Samara, on just as one of those solution providers inside the Beltway, what is this document? Or is it doing to help shape your agenda, your mission, as you work with agencies, okay, federal agencies, to bring to bear your talent pool that might say in an RFI or RFP, come in and help us with our IT support services? How much of this document is influencing you to think about, hey, there's other things we can do to make sure that while we're living and breathing your mission every day at the Department of X, we also are going to engender and usher in a cyber workforce that's literate.
It's twofold where we can really help. Hiring the right workforce, knowing that we're not just looking at where somebody graduated from in order to put them on a project. We're looking at the skills that they say they have, and then we're asking them to show us that they have those skills and prove it. At the same time, we're also looking for people who are open to a changing culture. This is ever changing, and this is the direction that we're going in. People are not going to stop trying to steal our information. This is something that we need to be aware of going forward. We need people who are ready to quickly adapt, who understand what goes into that, who understand how to get work done, but also be very collaborative. And realizing that being collaborative is not necessarily just being on the one team that you're on. It may be being a part of that team, but knowing the different resources out there and the different people to speak to about something else or a different topic, or, hey, we're doing this here. This isn't part of what our team is doing. Is this something, though, that we could do? Because I think this might be worthwhile. We need thinkers like that. One of the things that struck me with this document is that with curriculum, no one size fits all in education. And it's the same when we go to hire at OnPoint, we're looking for people who recognize that one size doesn't fit all. When we present to our customers and we write solicitations, we write proposals and whatnot, we have conversations with our customers and with government agencies, it's about us recognizing at OnPoint that one size does not fit all. Just because something is working at one agency does not mean it's going to work at a different agency. So what we do is we practice our active listening. We listen to the background. We listen to what the agency has. We know, we learn, we are read up on what other technologies, what other agencies are doing, what industry is doing and recommending, all the trends. We definitely all stay up to date with that. But it's that conversation where we can actively listen and say, great, we're doing this at this agency, but at your agency, I think we could manipulate it a little bit so that we're hitting this pain point of yours and we're moving this forward. And then we're going to also talk to the people surrounding it and make sure that the people are ready for these changings. And here's how we're going to do it. I mean, one of OnPoint's capabilities is strategic communications. We've got a few projects where we do different either campaigns or learning campaigns or teaching campaigns, training, different things related to digital transformation on that end. That fits here, let alone everywhere. That's what we do. We come in and we've got all these different skills, we've got all these different capabilities, but we've also always got culture at the forefront of our minds and how to help those people adapt, change management, digital transformation, make sure that everybody's on board as things change.
I appreciate that and thank you. That was a great answer to what I was hoping you'd get to. You are a technology company, but you also recognize it's your own on-point community, your own team of talented folks who can even drive conversations to ultimately benefit in the case of a federal customer. I just want to summarize a little bit of the awesomeness that you just put forth. We just discussed pillars one and two. We're going to hit three and four in another discussion conversation. But again, we hear in government about having a data-driven approach, developing performance measures with outcome-based goals, communicating progress to those benefiting stakeholders. This is sometimes viewed as government speak for high-level strategic planning. Well, if I'm in industry saying how I can help with that, this is the kind of document you have to read because, folks, it's not just what's the pillar. It's the strategic objective, the lines of effort. We didn't get into that, but there are some very specific things that if you're an agency wanting to, take advantage of this, because I can darn well bet there's going to be, because there is in the ONCD, mind you, a National Cyber Workforce Coordination Group as of last December 2022 that is a body serving as the principal interagency forum for this discussion. Again, a whole of government approach. I mentioned 147 contributors. This most likely is a thing that either today does have or will have metrics that agencies must comply with and hopefully move the needle on. And clearly, I feel based on whatever and whenever we talk, Samara, how you break this down is a capability that you can offer to any customer, whether it's state, local, or federal government. So thank you for all you do. I do want to pass the mic back for a parting shot that you can leave in preparation for our follow-on discussion, but what do you want to leave with the audience today?
Well, first of all, go check this out. But to give extra thought to the conversation that Pete, you and I just had, I mean, on an industry level, government level, that's one level, but thinking about it as just a citizen. Where are you with your foundational cyber skills? What are your thoughts on cyber education? Are you the one who's out there teaching others about, hey, you want to watch out. Did you see that ransomware article? Here's what this means. There is a lot of thinking needs to go into this. I read an interesting article the other day about how schools now, ransomware is up in different school districts. The article says, well, what would they want? They're holding schools hostages. School is getting canceled. Well, then it went on to say that they're stealing kids' credit scores because kids have clean records, clean credit scores, and it's something that they'll be able to use in the future, which just struck me. I mean, as a parent, especially, just struck me. I had never thought about it like that. I encourage everybody to just think about this. I mean, we read through the pillars and we're talking there, underlining themes of collaboration again, meeting people where they're at, making resources available, things that again apply here, apply elsewhere too. And I just think that we all just need to be aware and doing our part with it.
I appreciate you, and I won't add a parting shot on top of that, but you used the phrase no one size fits all. And I think that was, to me, something that really speaks to you should all, in some way, shape, or form, every American, every human being, like just be have a desire to learn a little bit about something, because facts tell, but stories sell. And that story you talked about with school districts and ransomware really created a light bulb moment for me. So until next time, as we celebrate Cybersecurity Awareness Month, have a great rest of your day. And it's always a joy talking to you, Samara.
Thank you, Pete. Right back at you.